Welcome to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in their lives. And it's a place where your questions about faith and religion can be answered. And now, here's your host, Deacon Al.
Thank you, John, and welcome back to Good News. This is Deacon Al. It's a pleasure to be with you again as we join you every Saturday and Sunday evening here on Catholic Spirit Radio. And we thank you for being with us, and we invite you to participate in the show by writing us at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com with your questions about your Christian faith or your Catholic faith, and we'll be happy to try and answer them as accurately as we can here on the radio. Wanted to start off this week, this weekend, by thanking Catholic Spirit Radio. We recently got a chance to have a fundraising dinner for Catholic Spirit Radio out at Eastland Suites Hotel. And it was great fun. We had Dr. Ray from EWTN as our guest speaker, and he was terrific. Great sense of humor, very animated speaker. If you just listen to his radio show, you get a sense of his humor, but you really don't see the body movements, the body language. The man is very entertaining to watch, has some great stories. I especially love the stories about his 10 adopted children. What great testimonies in the power of God. His 10 adopted children all come from high-risk pregnancies. These young people were either abused prenatal or postnatal, and yet what terrific people they've turned into, thanks not only to God, but to the parenting skills of Dr. Ray Garendi and his wife. But the stories he tells about them and about the changes in them, once you move from this history of abuse to love and the great power of love, I found really, really moving. He talked about the COVID epidemic. He talked about face masks. He talked about the danger of isolationism that we've created for ourselves. He talked about raising children, discipline, proper discipline, just covered a huge variety of topics. And I'm happy to say, at least I hope we can say that it raised quite a bit of money for Catholic Spirit Radio's operations. He was so moved. I happened to be sitting at the same table with Dr. Ray, as I was blessed to be able to be the MC for the evening, and I had an absolute blast. But Ray talked about, asked about the history of our Catholic Spirit Radio station, and we explained it to him and gave him kind of a timeline for our last 10 years. And he was so impressed that he said, "I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm going to tithe 10% of my book sales tonight back to the radio station." And what a generous thing to do. How kind of him. And he was very enthusiastic about doing that. And I just thought he was a terrific guy. I look forward to the next fundraising event. Catholic Spirit Radio does trips every now and then. They do special dinners. And I encourage all of you, no matter what your age, to attend. This was a program that was suitable for all ages. And we even had some young infants there with us who behaved really great. I mean, we had a packed house, and we had a couple of little ones in strollers, and they behaved wonderfully. So this would have been open to children and adults of all ages would have gotten something out of this presentation, along with a fabulous meal. They fed us really well. In fact, Dr. Ray said that from all his public speaking and all the traveling he does, this is probably the best meal he's ever had on the road. So he was really happy with it. So thank you to everyone at Eastland Suites for doing such a wonderful job for us. And thank you to everyone who attended. Thank you for your generosity to Catholic Spirit Radio. You know, this station is completely run by volunteers. And the fact that we can put on the amount of programming that this station puts on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and the amount of listening area that we cover by continually finding other radio stations that we can broadcast our programs out of, It's really quite amazing. We can reach about 250,000 listeners with our current stations, and we're looking to expand beyond that. And we can't do it without your help. So if you're a listener of Catholic Spirit Radio, but you're not yet a donor, I encourage you to please consider attending one of our fundraising events or sending a donation in to Catholic Spirit Radio. Every dollar is appreciated. Every dollar continues this ministry a little bit longer or to more people. And so it really is your radio station. Everything we do through you. And we pray for you, and we hope you pray for Catholic Spirit Radio and for their continued ministry. All right, let's talk about the gospel. We have we're looking at the readings for this Sunday, and I like these. I like them all, but I especially like it when all the readings tie in together through a theme, and we certainly see that in this Sunday's. Our first reading is from the prophet Isaiah, and this is really fascinating. If you're into the mystery of Scripture and the way that the Old and the New Testament tie together, that the Old Testament forecasts the New Testament and the New Testament completes the Old Testament, and we see that especially in today's readings. So if we start with the prophet Isaiah, he's telling a story about a servant of God. Now, keep in mind, this was written about 700 years before the birth of Christ. But listen to what Isaiah talks about in this servant of God who is to come. This is Isaiah 53. The Lord was pleased to crush him in infirmity. If he gives his life as an offering for sin, he shall see his descendants in a long life, and the will of the Lord shall be accomplished through him. Because of his affliction, he shall see the light in fullness of days through his suffering. My servant shall justify many, and their guilt he shall bear. That's a really important reading. As I say, this is 700 years before the birth of Christ, and yet it describes the Christ perfectly. If you start reading this rather than at chapter 53, I invite you all to do this. Back up to chapter 52, start with verse 13, which is the story of the servant, and read through about midway through chapter 53. You'll see that Isaiah is really telling us about Jesus. Everything he says is right in line with what's going to happen 700 years from when he wrote this down. So we see in this first reading the coming of Christ as suffering for our sins, that God allows it when it says the Lord was pleased to crush him in infirmity. It was the Lord was willing to let this happen to Jesus because of what the outcome would be. He knew this had to happen for our salvation. And so to see that plan come to fruition pleased him as much as it pained him. It also pleases him to see this plan for the salvation of all mankind coming to fruition through his Son, God incarnate, Jesus Christ. And to see that the Holy Spirit working through the prophet Isaiah predicts this so specifically. So then we go to the gospel, and the gospel is from Mark. So a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he replied, "What do you wish me to do for you?" They answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left." And Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking for. Can you drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We can." Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right and my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it was prepared." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at James and John. Jesus summoned them and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The Gospel of the Lord. There is so much tied up into this that you need to know about. To be just a good Christian, to be just a good person, you need to understand this reading because there is so much in it. And we're going to talk about those things as soon as we return. Thank you for listening to Good News. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. Good News will be right back on Catholic Spirit Radio.
And welcome back to Good News. I'm Deacon Al. We're looking at this weekend's Gospel from Mark, which is the one where James and John come to Jesus and ask for a special favor. And I want to kind of pick through this because I think there's some really neat things we need to think about. First, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And there's a specific reason why Scripture points that out. There were a lot of James floating around. Among the original 12 apostles, there were two James. So you had James and John, brothers, sons of Zebedee, fishermen. But you also had James, who was the son of Alphaeus, and you had who was another apostle, and you had James, who was related to Jesus. Some scriptures say brother, but if you look in Mark, Mark explains that he's actually this James is the son of Mary, wife of Clopas, rather than wife of Joseph. So this is a cousin to Jesus. So that's James the Greater. So when you read the epistles, that's not James, the brother of John, the son of Zebedee, that you're reading. This is James, this is the other James, James the Greater, who ended up as the bishop of Jerusalem. And he's the one whose epistles you read. So we don't hear much from James, the brother of John, because he died very soon after the crucifixion of Christ. He was caught preaching in the streets and was beheaded. The other James didn't do so well either. Both Alphaeus, son of Alphaeus, and James the Greater were both stoned to death for while preaching. So, so none of the James really ended up they ended up in heaven, but they didn't end up with a very easy life. And that's what Jesus is going to warn him about in this reading. John is the gospel writer. John, also who we believe to have written Revelation. We believe that's the same John, the John on the island of Padua. But we're not sure about that, but we're pretty sure by some of the things he wrote. He lived longer than any of the apostles, but again, a very torturous life. They tried at one point to boil him in oil. That didn't work. I'm told that's because he was an apostle and not a friar. I don't know. Okay, Dr. Ray got to throw out some bad ones. I get to throw out a couple bad ones from time to time. But no, they tried to boil him in oil, and he survived it. And so he was put out. He was exiled onto this island where he lived for. We're not sure, but we know from the writings that he outlived all the other apostles. But again, a very difficult life. So these two brothers who. Jesus had a great nickname for them, and it's only mentioned once in Scripture, but he calls them Boanerges. Boanerges means sons of thunder, and Scripture doesn't actually explain what that means, but we do know that every time Jesus renamed someone, it was for a purpose, that the new name was to either give them a specific authority or to recognize a certain characteristic about them. So I'm guessing from this reading and from the nickname of Sons of Thunder that these were not a couple of shy boys. These were guys who spoke their mind, who said what they were thinking, who were not afraid to speak up. We hear that James is beheaded because unlike some of the apostles hiding in the upper room, James was not afraid to go out into public and preach the truth of the Gospels, and it got him murdered. So these are two very strong-willed, very brave, very outspoken young men. And they come to Jesus soon after Jesus said, anything you pray for, God will give you. And I think they really took that to heart. And when they come to Jesus, there's no doubt in the reader's mind as we look at this that they recognize who Christ is. They recognize him for the authority that he has, not only on earth, but the authority he has in heaven. And if he wills that they sit on his left and right, these are the seats of power, the seats of authority in the biblical times. So whoever sat on the left and the right of the ruler or of the head of the household, they were the next in power. So these are seats of honor. And these two young men said, well, Jesus said we can have whatever we ask for. Let's ask for the ability to be as close to him in heaven as we are on earth. We want to sit next to you on your left and your right. And I'm sure that kind of outspokenness did not sit well with the other apostles, because I'm sure in their hearts they're thinking, that's where I was hoping to be. That's what I had in mind. You know, how dare you jump ahead of me like that? Or how dare you be so, I don't want to say egotistical, but so I guess that would be the word, so self-centered to be outspoken to ask for that. How dare you ask for that? But, you know, you don't get what you don't ask for. Jesus tells us that in the scripture. When you pray, be persevere, and don't ask for menial things. Ask for what you need. And we have a reading coming up next weekend where we see that pointed out once again, to persevere in prayer and to ask God for the things you need. He knows what you need, but he still likes you to come and ask. It helps show your trust in him. It helps to display your acceptance of his power and authority. So I think he likes it when we turn to him, just like your parents enjoy it when you turn to them for help and turn to them in their needs. I talk to my son 3 or 4 times a week. He lives about 1,200 miles away. Sometimes he calls just to say hi or to tell me something that he and his wife have been up to with their car club, or something great going on at work, or good news about a neighbor. And sometimes he calls for help. And I have to be honest, I love it when my son calls and says, Dad, I need help with something. And I think God feels the same way. When we talk to him and we say, Dad, Father, Abba, I need help. And this is something that I can't do on my own, that I need you to help me with. I think that means a lot to God. And I think it means a lot to your parents. If no matter what your age, if you're still lucky enough to have your parents around, it's great now and then to turn to them and say, you know, you know a lot more than I know, or you've been around a lot more than I have, or I simply respect your opinion. I have an issue I need help with. Could you help me? I think that would warm the heart of any caring parent. So James and John go to Christ and say, you said we could ask for anything. This is what we want to ask for. And Jesus looks at them with this look of, I don't think you really understand what that takes. And I don't think you really understand what you're asking to happen in your life. And I think, I know in my own case, that's the same thing that was said to me as I started to dig deeper into my Christian faith, is the scripture started to say to me, do you really know what you're asking for? It is not easy in this world to be Christian. It hasn't been easy for a long, long time in this world to be Christian. Our society becomes more and more secular, not just in the United States, but throughout the world. And more often, people are trying to push religion back indoors. It's okay to be Christian in the privacy of your home. It's okay to be Christian in the seclusion of your church building. But how dare you be Christian out in the public? How dare you talk about your Christianity to others? How dare you live out a Christian belief in today's society? You should go along with what society wants. You should go along with the secular world. You should play along. You know, these are the secular rules. How dare you not play by our rules? And it's not easy being a Christian. And it wasn't easy, certainly, at the time of Christ to be Christian. It was, for the most part, a death sentence. And I don't think a lot of people realize that in the church's first 300 years, every pope, I think there was one exception, every pope either was murdered or died in prison. For 300 years, the leader of the Catholic faith murdered or died in prison while in office. So not an easy start. Christianity has always been persecuted, and we see it not just in the Catholic faith, but in any Christian faith, we see persecution. Even the Quakers and the Puritans, the Lutherans, all went through periods of persecution. Sometimes, sadly to say, at the hands of other Christians. That's our human brokenness. But the point is that it's not easy to be Christian and to say that you want to be a follower of Christ. Jesus turns to them and says, I don't think you understand what you're asking for. Can you go through the same baptism that I'm going to go through? That is such a telling line. Because it's Jesus saying that my real baptism, we all think of Jesus' baptism as happening in the Jordan with John, but that's not the baptism we share in with Christ. It's the baptism of the cross. That's the baptism of Christ. That's when he says to James and John, can you go through the same baptism I'm going to go through? Not the one I've been through, because he was baptized by John 3 years before this. He's saying the baptism I'm going through. If you probably don't remember if you were baptized as an infant, but if you were to attend a baptism today, you would hear the baptismal rite, the same rite that's been used in the church for hundreds of years. And in that rite, we remind the parents, or in the case of an adult being baptized, we remind them that in this baptism, they are dying and rising again with Christ. When we say that, we're not referring to the Jordan baptism. We're referring to the baptism on the cross. The dying and rising again with Christ is the dying on the cross with Christ for our faith, and then our resurrection, our rising again. And the water of baptism we talk about is not just the water of the Jordan. We're talking about the water that poured from Christ's side when his heart was pierced by a lance. That's the water of Christ's baptism. That's the water of baptism we share in. The death of Christ and the resurrection is the water that pours out of his side. I love the painting of the Merciful Heart of Jesus, which was done from an apparition. And in it, the artist shows colors streaming from Jesus' exposed heart. And there's blue and there's red. And that is the piercing of the heart by the spear on the cross. And we have the blood and the water emanating from Christ's body. The water of baptism and the blood is the birth of his church. That's what the red signifies. So we see the beginning not only of our lives as Christians through baptism, but we also see the beginning of the church coming from Christ's heart. And I just find that to be such a beautiful, beautiful image. So in telling them, James and John, that they'll have to go through the same baptism Christ is going to go through, he's talking about, are you ready to die for your faith, for your belief in me? And I don't know that James and John initially understood that. I think they probably, not knowing about the crucifixion, they probably thought about being dunked in the Jordan. Can we do that? Yeah, we can do that. Sure. Yeah, we're willing to do that. And Jesus had something completely different in mind. But he warns us, too, that as we choose to follow him today, it is not going to be an easy path. the world is not going to be accepting of this faith. But that doesn't make you wrong. Everybody agreeing on something doesn't make them right. It just means everybody agrees. To be Christian means to be different than that, to break out of that mold. Sure, there's a lot of Christians in the world, like I think we're close to 3 billion now, but you have to remember that still means that 2 out of 3 people aren't. We're still in the minority, no matter how many it sounds like there are of Christians, still a minority. And sadly, not every Christian is willing to be like James and John and speak up for their faith. And we're being bombarded again by this secular world. We need to speak up more. There's so much going on in today's society, in today's politics, that are completely against the beliefs of our Christian faith. And yet we're not speaking up about them. Just a couple days ago in the Daily Mass, the reading was of Jesus saying, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you live by the law, but not by love." And how often have we let the law outweigh the love in our world? Abortion, a really easy example to point out for that. Abortion is murder. I mean, you're taking an innocent human life. But since it's the law says you're allowed to do it, people say, well, it's not murder because it's not against the law. If it were murder, it would be against the law. But the law says it's okay, so therefore it's something different than murder. No. And that's not the only example. There's other cases in our politics and in our laws where something might be immoral, but it might be legal. And we have a responsibility as Christians to speak up about that. So again, through your church, whether it's the Catholic Church or whatever Christian church you belong to, you're going to have opportunities to show your Christian faith in public, to speak out either individually or in mass about, and by mass I mean in group, about the inconsistencies in our society between what is legal and what is moral. And I hope you will prayerfully discern your participation in those demonstrations. Yeah, you should be there. We should all be there. When there's something to defend life, whether that's no matter who that life belongs to, even if the life belongs to our enemies, that life is still sacred. No matter what they've done against us, they're still a creation of God, and their life has value. And we need to defend that because once, and we've already started down this road, once we make life valueless, we devalue all life, all life. So we need to be like James and John and say, we understand that there's going to be hardships ahead, but we are willing to do that in order to be with you, in order to be with Christ. And we should take on those same beliefs as James and John. So Jesus then has to grab the other disciples together who are angry about this and say, look, this isn't about who's in charge. This is about who serves. And I think that brings up an important point, and this is my final point because we're running out of time. The Pope is not in charge of the Catholic faith. The Pope serves all humanity as a steward of God. So he humbles himself as the ultimate servant. And then we see that same sense of service in ministers in all faiths. If they're a true minister of Christ, they're not there to tell you what to do or to run the church. They're there to serve you, to lift you up and bring you closer to God as a servant and not as a boss, a president, a king. We see too many ministers, especially in the Protestant world, making themselves minor rulers, minor emperors, rather than true servants. But there are many wonderful servants. I've had the good fortune of working with many wonderful Protestant ministers who are true servants of Christ. So be careful, be alert, and know that the real men and women of God are servants and not masters. I think that's all we have the time for this weekend. I love spending time with you. Thank you to all of the people who came up to me during the dinner with Dr. Ray to say they listen and enjoy the show. Please tell your friends about it. We would love to have lots of people listening and be able to share God's word with everyone. Thank you all again. God bless.
You've been listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in your life. Submit your questions to Deacon Al at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. That's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. Deacon will answer your questions about faith and religion. Thank you for listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.